Welcome to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Corey Stanton, and this week we'll be talking about the Agriculture Improvement Act of 2018, also known as the 2018 Farm Bill. I spoke with a local hemp farmer about his ideas and concerns, and I also spoke with Hollis Glenn, Division Director for the Colorado Department of Agriculture. I also spoke with Nick Lewandowski and Harrison Topp from the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. The 2018 Farm Bill was officially passed on December 20th in 2018, and it addresses a lot, more than we could cover in 30 minutes. But we will cover most of the titles that directly affect our farmers and consumers on the Western Slope. To fill in a little background on the 2018 Farm Bill, I spoke with Harrison Topp, who is the Membership Director of the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, and Nick Lewandowski, Director of External Affairs. Let's talk specifically about this last 2018 Farm Bill that was recently passed, or also known as the Agriculture Improvement Act of 2018. Why do they have the two names?
The Farm Bill has just always been the name that everybody has given it over the years. But with each individual Farm Bill that has passed over time, they do give it a certain name. Like, I remember the 96 Farm Bill was the Freedom to Farm Act. So each different one has a different name. But essentially, at the end of the day, it is just the Farm Bill. But we've kind of taken it upon ourselves, at Rocky at least, to call it the Food and Farm Bill, because so much of what it does covers food for people. The nutrition program makes up nearly 80% of the Farm Bill itself, so why do we continue to call it the Farm Bill? Why don't we call it what it really is, and that is the Food and Farm Bill?
Because we're in Colorado, let's talk about how the passing of the 2018 Farm Bill directly affects our farmers here in Colorado. Obviously, we have a lot of hemp farmers, so this was a big win.
It was a big win for hemp production. But the thing is, folks need to take a step back and realize that the Farm Bill passage of hemp and all of that, legalizing hemp production, is not the be-all, save-all, end-all for hemp, because we now have to deal with the DEA and FDA. They have to promulgate their rules around hemp as well, because hemp is, it's new, quote-unquote, even though we were growing hemp in this country, you know, 70, 80 years ago. And even further back, I mean, George Washington was growing hemp. It's almost like having to relearn something, and it's more than like learning how to ride a bike again. We live in a different world than we did 70, 80 plus years ago. So there are different rules and regs that have to be followed. And as great as it was that we got the hemp part of the Farm Bill passed and into law, it's going to take some time for FDA and DEA to come together and realize, okay, what is the food and drug side of this? What is the drug enforcement side of this as well? Because there are those issues of THC levels, and you can utilize hemp for food products. You can utilize hemp for medicinal purposes. You can utilize it for industrial purposes. So it covers so many different areas. Now we have to wait for all of that to come together. Another big issue with hemp is processing. We can grow it. It can grow just about anywhere, and it doesn't take a lot of inputs, which is wonderful, and it benefits the soil. It benefits so many different things. But at the end of the day, if we don't have processing for it, then we really don't have a market for it. And that's been the big issue. You know, we see a lot of hemp grown in Colorado for oil production, and that's really boomed. That's been a growing part of the sector. But now we're seeing more and more interest in what to do with those fibers. And really the only place in the U.S. that is doing much fiber production is Kentucky. Well, then you've got to start thinking about moving that product across state lines. And there's issues with that. Moving product to Kentucky or moving it north to our neighbors in Canada. That's the other major area where we're seeing a lot of hemp production and processing. But you've got issues there too. So we really have to focus on all of those things when we talk about this. And yes, it's a good thing. It's a step in the right direction, and it'll help a lot of farmers who are struggling with other commodity prices right now, but it's not set in stone yet. So we still have to work through all those other issues.
Right. I know, I can only imagine that the FDA is going to have some opinions and some regulations.
And they're dealing with some turnover there at FDA right now. The director recently stepped down, and so a new director will come in, and that will essentially give direction to this issue. If he or she, whoever that person ends up being, decides that this isn't a priority for them, they could essentially backlog it. I hope that's not the case. But the other part that worries me is, you know, we're working our way into another election year. That tends to put those big items on the back burner. And I worry that that's going to be the case here. We're seeing those kinds of issues now with Farm Bill implementation, and I know we'll get into that here in a while too. But election years mean big things get put aside, and sometimes the little things don't even make it through because everybody's focused on getting reelected. So that concerns me, is that we're not going to get the rules and regs in place by the end of this year or sometime in 2020. My concern is we're going to see it pushed beyond the presidential election of 2020. And I don't feel like that is good for a lot of reasons, but especially in a time when farmers are struggling right now and they're looking at these new products or commodities to help them, to help their bottom line. You know, a lot of folks are putting their heart and soul and their pocketbook on the line when it comes to this. So it'd be nice to see some movement there, but unfortunately, I'm not seeing that right now.
This is probably a broad question, but what else would affect us here in Delta County?
We really, really have major investments in our community that come out of the conservation title. Mm-hmm. The conservation title covers all sorts of stuff. The program that Nick referred to earlier, the CSP program, the conservation stewardship program, which provides incentives to people to embrace certain conservation practices, or the EQIP program, which is what many, many people use to build more efficient irrigation systems. And so, you know, one of the reasons I think the conservation programs are so important to us out here is because of the water, is because we're the headwaters of the Colorado and there's so many demands on our water. So we can really take advantage of a lot of the conservation programs in order to become more efficient, in order to, you know, hopefully prepare for a future that we're not really quite sure what it's going to look like in terms of water availability, in terms of the demands from not only the Front Range, but from the lower basin states. And so, well, a lot of these programs weren't necessarily designed with that in mind. They've become really important for us to prepare, for that uncertain water future. And on top of that, in many cases, it also helps improve production practices. And for many people who, particularly people with a strong environmental ethic, you know, these programs can enable farmers to address really important resource concerns, whether it's around soil, whether it's around water. In this new farm bill, there's new language around soil health and ways that farmers are going to be able to address soil health concerns. There's a couple other tweaks. For example, the EQIP program that I referred to earlier is now going to be eligible for ditch companies to take advantage of, or associations of growers to take advantage of. So that'll be really important for our system infrastructure. You know, whether you're on a large canal company, or we have so many gosh darn ditches in Delta County, this may prove really essential to us making improvements to those canal systems and irrigation systems. These are programs that are part of the 2018 Farm Bill. You know, a lot of them existed, such as the RCPP, or the Rural Conservation Partnership Program existed, which was, if you're on the Fire Mountain Canal here in Delta, you'll know that the RCPP was behind the piping of the canal over on Rogers Mesa. So that program already existed, but in this new Farm Bill, they're proposing and are hopefully making adjustments so that that process will get streamlined, so that it'll be a little bit easier to work with all the parties that you need to work with. Anytime you touch water, there's a lot of people that raise their hands and say that you need permission from them. So, you know, there's been proposals that we've been able to come across in the new Farm Bill that will hopefully make it easier, that'll hopefully make reapplying, continuing to use these programs much easier and less burdensome, so that hopefully more people are using them.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other major concerns that our local farmers or other farmers should be thinking about?
As far as other issues or things that will help in, you know, rural parts of Colorado and the Western Slope, we're seeing more funding going into food assistance for families that are struggling. So the SNAP program, the nutrition portion of the Farm Bill, is the granddaddy of all when it comes to what's broken down in the Farm Bill. Roughly 80% of it makes up that package. So we're seeing more and more assistance going to those areas, but it really tightens up the program itself so that there aren't as many issues with fraud and abuse of that system. It's way below 1%. And then also getting more access to fruits and vegetables and a lot of the locally grown products that are grown over in on the Western Slope and frankly across the state into those programs, which is important. We're also seeing more funding in rural broadband, so high-speed internet for rural communities, which is so needed. Rural development title, which is another really important one for rural Colorado. There's funding in that particular title that helps with the opioid crisis, opens up a lot more money and financing opportunities to expand telemedicine and community facility investment to provide critical treatment options for those who suffer. It's affecting the whole country, but especially these rural areas. And it's my hope that we can see a lot of good come from those investments that are being made under the rural. rural development title.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some really good stuff in there.
It's important to recognize that the Farm Bill is what, you know, you'd call an omnibus bill. It's got a lot of different pieces to it. You know, we've talked a little bit about rural development. We've talked a little bit about the conservation titles. There's also crop insurance. Crop insurance is hugely important for farmers across the country, but particularly in our county where we grow a lot of crops that are climate sensitive. The horticulture title, things like the organic program are housed in there. The Title I, which is the commodities title, which helps protect, you know, hopefully it doesn't always do the trick, but hopefully protects people who grow wheat and grow corn and grow cotton and grow dairy. Oh, we've also talked about the nutrition title, which, as Nick said, is about 80% of the funding in the Farm Bill. So if you think about 80% of the funding of this omnibus legislation really goes to support the consumer, does not go to the farmer. It's a big piece of legislation, and it really is important for our agricultural communities and our rural communities that sometimes struggle to access financing or access the resources that our urban cousins can get, whether it's to build a rec center, to build a school, to build out internet, to, you know, maintain a lot of the things, or to provide incentive to businesses to come to our rural communities. The Farm Bill plays a big role in enabling us to access resources that can help improve that situation. Now, as we talked about earlier, the challenge is making sure these programs are able to be applied. You know, so a lot of the changes that were proposed in the Farm Bill, a lot of the new rules, like hemp, for example, it's great to have a Farm Bill that says these things, but if we can't get these on the ground, if we can't get these programs usable, it takes a little bit of the celebration out of the victory of getting the Farm Bill passed. So that really is the challenge that I think we're going to be up against, is really prioritizing. And I don't have enough experience. Maybe Nick knows what it's been like in the past, but it's been frustrating to see how long it's taking to get some of these programs on the ground, especially considering how staffing is in some of our offices. It's great to have a program, but if you don't have staff to help implement it on the ground, anyone who goes to our FSA office might notice that we're getting pretty skinny on staff there, which makes it harder for us to take advantage of these programs. You can't buy these on Amazon. You know, you need to go into the office and work with somebody and talk to them about it. So it's worth celebrating that we got this Farm Bill passed, but it's also worth noting that it's now a really essential time, and why we can still have these conversations and they're still valuable, because we need to see these programs get implemented on the ground. We really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us, Corey. The more we can have public conversations about these, not just within the agricultural community, but publicly, the more important it is that we all have the same vocabulary and we all know how to talk to each other.
That was Harrison Topp and Nick Lewandowski from the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. And on this program, we're talking about the 2018 Farm Bill and how it directly affects us here on the Western Slope. Next, we'll hear from Miles, a local hemp farmer.
My name is Miles Filippelli. I'm a farmer in Hotchkiss, Colorado, in the North Fork Valley. I've been growing hemp about 4 years now, and I have a background in marijuana and organic vegetable cultivation. I moved to Colorado in 2008 from North Carolina, where I worked as a cultivator on small-time veggie farms, and I was a jeweler before I got into marijuana cultivation legally in Colorado, and hemp more recently here in the North Fork Valley. I produced the first ever liquid hemp-derived soil conditioner from hemp that I grow on my farm, and it's available through a local distributor through buildthesoil.com, who is a great guy, and he works with a lot of hemp farms out here as well, helping them.
Very cool. We're here talking about the 2018 Farm Bill and how it's going to impact our farmers here on the Western Slope. How has that affected you? Has that changed anything, or...
For me, not really. The hemp aspect of the most recent Farm Bill was big news, and it was like a attractant to get more people into the industry and more people growing it, more people safe, comfortable way to do it, that people were excited to get into hemp. I was already into it before the most recent Farm Bill, so it didn't change much for me personally, but it's drawing a lot more. You can just see it, not just in Colorado, not just in our valley, everywhere where farming happens. It's drawing new people in. The news of the hemp thing and the most recent Farm Bill has been huge for drawing people in. It's great.
Do you have some concerns about the market and how it might change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the hemp thing is extremely volatile. I mean, it's so new, and there's still gray areas, and there's still uncertainty, and which way it's going to break is very unknown. I mean, there's decided avenues for profit for people are obviously doing CBD and doing really well with it, and there's other things that people are all kind of concerned with, but I think that the potential out there is so vast that which way it could go is still so unknown and so much potential.
What do you think was missing from the 2018 Farm Bill?
Well, CBD wasn't mentioned at all in it, for one, which is weird. I mean, considering that's what the entire hemp industry is in America right now, for the most part. And I don't know if they belonged in the farm bill, but some kind of companion legislation maybe that incentivized the building of infrastructure to support the hemp industry, like a giant decorticator plant for hemp fiber. There's not one functioning in America, that's not a large enough one to make a difference in industrial scale in America right now.
What advice do you have for someone who's maybe a new hemp farmer?
Just trying different things and remaining versatile and flexible is the biggest piece of advice I have to people. Is like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't go all hard on one avenue. You want to always have other options, exit plans, everything, you know. So flexibility is huge. And the gray area that we have right now kind of provides for that, which mm-hmm. is cool because it's like good advice for right now. In a few years, it might not be as applicable.
Yeah. Do you think that it would get to the point for you personally? Would there be a breaking point for you if it became so heavily regulated?
Oh, yeah. It's already coming for me. I mean, yeah, definitely.
What's your backup plan?
Not telling on the radio.
But you do have one.
Oh, yeah. I think the ideal situation would be to get to the point where I could remain compliant. The backup to the backup plan is making enough now within the gray area to translate into full on no gray area, like fully above board, compliant with every, you know, I mean, it just might be a compliance officer, a special consultant that focuses on compliance. Or, I mean, I've been waiting for somebody locally in this area to do a service for hemp farmers, like a lawyer or a business manager to do like the maps. A farmer shouldn't have to worry about all this legality stuff. We should worry about deer and pests and pathogens and soil conditions and weathers. But I'm not saying we should operate without any regulations. I just think that there's still even like a hesitance for mainstream, like banking and CPAs. And I mean, I've had CPAs just be like, nope, not touching the hemp guy. Nope, no thanks. No, don't want your business. Like, really? You don't want to do nothing? Okay.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. And this week we're talking about the passing of the 2018 Farm Bill. Next, we'll hear from Hollis Glenn, Division Director, Inspection and Consumer Services for the Colorado Department of Agriculture. I spoke with Hollis specifically about the passing of the 2018 Farm Bill and how it will affect our hemp farmers on the Western Slope, and also about what's coming down the CDA pipeline. Stay tuned.
My name is Hollis Glenn. I am the Division Director in the Colorado Department of Agriculture. I oversee the Inspection and Consumer Services Division. This is the division that provides kind of regulatory inspections, providing consumer services on a number of agricultural programs.
Great. How does the passing of the recent 2018 Farm Bill affect farmers here in Colorado?
The passage of the 18 Farm Bill obviously is very wide in scope as far as the impact it's going to have on Colorado farming and ranching families, particularly on the Western Slope. The area that we've been focusing on here in my narrow view of the world is on the incorporation of industrial hemp. The big thing that the Farm Bill 18 did essentially was to remove hemp, which is defined as 0.3% THC or less, being removed from the Controlled Substance Act. So, in essentially, it is now federally legal to cultivate, grow, produce, manufacture, and distribute hemp and hemp products.
And of course, you would need to still be registered through the CDA to be legally growing.
Correct. This is a progression. It just didn't happen overnight where all of a sudden it is now federally legal. Obviously, we are in a state where marijuana is legal, so there's a number of regulations or requirements that need to be put in place to properly regulate this industry. But the bigger thing to think about regarding what the Farm Bill 2018 did is it requires states to put in and submit to the USDA a management plan on how farmers, as well as producers, manufacturers, will be regulated, or how the state will be regulating that program. This is a progression program. It didn't happen, like I said, overnight. We have had a robust registration kind of pilot program. Colorado was one of the first in the country in which farmers for the last few years have been registering their crop under this pilot program to then cultivate and then for research and distribution purposes push that hemp into the market. The Farm Bill 18 essentially has just kind of sort of removed that controlled substance barrier So the opportunity for growth of this crop and this market has grown significantly with the passage of Farm Bill 18.
The management plan that you're talking about, is that something that will be kind of slowly rolled out? Is there a time frame for that? And do you have any idea what will be proposed?
Sure. We are working on that plan. Every state right now is working on the plan. There's a lot of excitement and a lot of questions surrounding the plan. Again, the plan is submitted to the USDA in accordance with the Farm Bill language. Every state is going to submit this plan. And Colorado has been a leader in the development of this market for a number of years, and we're looking to continue to take that leading role on how we set up this marketplace. So when we are working with our plan, we're working on a fairly large, comprehensive project in which we'll be involving a number of state agencies, stakeholders, industry experts to develop this plan. The plan timeline essentially will be that we plan to submit the plan for approval to the USDA this October. We're still waiting on guidelines and guidance from the USDA on specifics that need to go into the plan. But then we also plan on looking at a more comprehensive review of the industry beyond the farm gate and look at the whole hemp supply chain. So our plan is going to deal with and address very important topics that need to be discussed, such as transportation issues, testing issues, processing, manufacturing, marketing, banking, insurance, and a number of other areas that we need to, as a state, flesh out in order to stand up this market. Our new commissioner, Commissioner Kate Greenberg, when we looked at this issue, we have to look beyond the farm gate in the sense that we have to stand up the marketplace here in Colorado and quickly in order for the farmers to actually have a market to sell their product to. Mm-hmm. So we have to look beyond just the cultivation issues and the seed issues, but figure out how we deal with transportation so we can transport across state lines, or hemp can come into state lines for processing, testing issues and processing issues, as I mentioned before. So it's important to promote and support our farmers that we look at these elements down the supply chain, down the value stream, and set those elements and that regulatory framework up so that can advance the industry.
So will the pilot program kind of fizzle out?
The pilot program will not fizzle out. It would actually just evolve and change. It's going to be a very similar structure. It's not going to be too different, but it'll take on more of the traditional functionality of a regulatory program. Let me give you a case in point. Right now, you do registrations. A farmer has to register every year, and then every year it's a different registration, where we're going to be changing that into kind of more of a renewal process, which will help streamline the application and registration process. We'll also be putting in more kind of sort of regulatory rules and guidance and structure that is required by the Farm Bill, such as how are we going to deal with the proper disposal or repurposing of hemp that was grown above 0.3% THC, otherwise known as hot hemp. That is something that's a requirement by the Farm Bill for us to figure out how we're going to handle and submit that plan to the USDA.
A lot of hemp farmers that I talk to are concerned about, for example, full spectrum oil. It's concentrated, and so when that happens, the THC level surpasses the legal limit. How can producers legally sell a hemp extract such as full spectrum when the THC level is above the legal limit because of the extraction process?
That's an excellent question, and this is an issue that in the Colorado Hemp Advancement Management Plan that we are writing, we plan to discuss and come up with solutions or at least positions with various industry stakeholders. This is an issue that we've been talking with our colleagues at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, in which this really falls into their jurisdiction, statutorily speaking. But we've also been working with the Department of Revenue on this issue, because you're right. As the concentrates occur, you see a spike or a rise well above the 0.3%, and then as they manufacture it, it should go down to, again, below the 0.3% THC. So the end product is not above the 0.3% THC. That is, I believe, what your common consumer would expect regarding the amount of THC in the products that they're buying. But there is this spike, if you will, during the process on some of these products. How we handle that and how we deal with that is definitely going to be something that we are going to need to discuss and will be discussing this summer with our stakeholder process.
Is it a little bit in the gray area right now?
The gray area right now.
Okay.
To be honest, there is a few areas of gray when you talk about testing and transportation and, you know, testing, you know, acceptable limits. There is gray area that not just Colorado, but the country is still going to need to figure out. You know, when you look at an industry and the regulation of that industry, the regulation and the regulatory agencies are always going to be lagging behind a little bit. And that's true with everything because the industry is constantly innovating. The industry is kind of pushing the direction of where the industry is going. And then the regulatory side comes in behind to kind of sort of make the adjustments to create the appropriate regulatory boundaries in which that industry can still advance and grow, but in a proper and fair way, in a safe way for consumers. We're in a lag, which is a normal place for a regulatory agency to be. The question is, how far of a lag are we going to be? Are we a year? Are we two? Are we three? This is a question that needs to be discussed or figured out nationwide, and this is where Colorado, I think, can sort of set the lead or set the mark in the sense that if we look at what we need to do from a regulatory standpoint in the scenario particularly that you just pointed out, we can close that gap by looking at these issues in a more comprehensive way sooner rather than later.
Right. What have you heard from the FDA in regards to hemp and hemp-derived products? Are the requirements from the Farm Bill to work with the FDA?
That is a great question. So the FDA is definitely focused on industrial hemp. They are holding a public hearing in Washington, D.C. on May 31st. It will be recorded. They're taking public comments at the meeting and then written comments. And so they're very engaged on how they, within their jurisdictional charge or authority, they're looking to see how do they come to terms with and deal with industrial hemp, and particularly from a human consumption side.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so they are starting to really focus and knowing that because Farm Bill 18 passed, USDA is sort of facilitating the state plans for management. Like I say, hemp is going to permeate through all sorts of state and federal agencies, and clearly the FDA is going to be the one that it first hits, but they are actively moving forward and addressing this issue, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with them reaching out to the public for public hearing and public comment. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
They're taking written comments from the public on hemp throughout this summer. Colorado Department of Agriculture is looking to partner up with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment to kind of submit a joint statement regarding industrial hemp regulation, specifically with a focus on testing and testing standards.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many industrial hemp applications you've received in 2019?
I do. Currently, right now, we're in our active registration season as farmers are planting or getting ready to plant. And as of a few days ago, we currently have a little under 1,800 active registrations done by about 1,400 registrants. So we have 1,400 farmers registering 1,800 separate locations. That accounts for about 45,000 acres and about 7.3 million square feet because we also register indoor grows.
Mm-hmm.
With the passage of the Farm Bill 18, the interest in farmers to give it a shot and register their acres has just increased dramatically. We have doubled year over year prior to Farm Bill 18, but with the passage of that bill, it's increased exponentially.
So this is a hot commodity.
It is a hot commodity. There is tremendous interest. Seems to be the hot topic of CBD nowadays. But I think what is important for your listeners to understand and for farmers to understand and for Colorado to understand is that, you know, this is still very much a new and emerging market, a new and emerging crop. Economically speaking, we don't know where this is landing as far as price discovery, price equilibrium. And so it's very important that, you know, the farmers that are considering getting into this, it can be a difficult crop to grow, particularly when you're trying to grow it to a certain point, but not above the 0.3% THC. So the interest and the buzz around hemp is great, but I think that it would be also beneficial for people to kind of sort of understand this is very early, and farmers should really think hard and do a lot of research before making the financial investment into cultivating this crop.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any predictions for the future of industrial hemp? And how should farmers move forward in an ever-expanding industry?
I think the farmers should move cautiously and be fully aware and educate themselves regarding this crop and the science and the skill that it takes to cultivate this crop. The buzz is good. It is, I think, ultimately a positive emerging industry that Colorado is exploring. I think that with the passage of Farm Bill 18 kind of maybe solidifies a little bit more that the industrial hemp or hemp crop has a tremendous potential, and it's not necessarily going to be going away anytime soon. But again, any farmer looking into going and getting into cultivating industrial hemp should go in with as much foresight, education, and awareness, and maybe a little bit of caution before proceeding.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about the Colorado hemp plan.
Sure. So to submit the plan to the USDA, the Colorado is devising a plan, which we're dubbing the Colorado Hemp Advancement and Management Plan, in other words, the CHAMP. And this is a large stakeholder process, which we're going to involve a number of state agencies, not just DOR, but CDPH, Public and Health Environment, Department of Regulatory Agencies, Department of Economic Development, Public Safety, the Governor's Office, the AG's Office, Commission on Indian Affairs, and put together a large stakeholder process in which we're going to explore the whole hemp process or supply chain through eight specific stakeholder groups. We'll be having a discussion about the various issues surrounding the hemp supply chain, testing, manufacturing, transportation, cultivation, seeds, and come up with essentially a state blueprint for how we're going to stand this industry up from a regulatory perspective. What are the resources we need? What is the regulation we need? What is the regulation we don't need? This process, this plan, is going to get underway this summer with stakeholder discussions starting in August and ending in early December, at which point we will then draft and write the CHAMP management plan.
And that's what you'll be submitting to the USDA. Is the CDA taking any kind of public comments from farmers? Is there any way that our local farmers can share
public engagement is going to be a cornerstone to this project. As I said, we're having it stakeholder-based. We imagine we're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 160 stakeholder representatives. We will be putting out on our webpage here no later than the first of the month information about our plan and a way in which if a farmer or industry member or anyone would like to sign up to be a stakeholder and discuss a specific issue regarding hemp regulation or hemp management plan, they'll be able to sign up for consideration, and we will be selecting the stakeholders early this summer.
Great.
And if they don't get selected, we will still be putting out public hearings as well as other ways in which we want to engage the farmers and just the general industry on this issue, because we do want to hear from the public. It's cornerstone, like I said, to the success of the project.
Great. Hollis, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Thanks for listening.